Open up to Matthew chapter 8. Now, I don't know if it's been a long time since I really taught a series line on line. And I don't know if this is going to, I don't know whether this is going to become one or not, but we'll find out. But he took a portion of Sunday's message after the service and began talking to me about it. And he had me do a little deeper study than I've ever done before. And I think the title we'll probably put on this, at least the series, I don't know what tonight's message, but it's going to be Authority and Power. Authority and Power. And there's been a lot of good books written on the authority of the believer. I'll get it out here in a minute. There's been a lot of good books written, but you know, you can read all those books and digest it and have it to the point where you can speak it and even teach it in a class. But if you can't get them out of the wheelchair, what good is that? See, it's a knowledge and a walk that's deeper than our mind. It's a walk of the spirit. Dave's book is so aptly named. It is not the walk of the mind. It's not the walk of the intellect. It's not the walk of the educated. Although we have lots of exhortations to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, we're going to do that tonight. But ultimately, all of that has to process through the brain and arrive at your spirit. God's word is not brain food. It's spirit food. It nurtures the new man. Amen? So I'm going to start in Matt. This is where he started me on this, Matthew 8. And we're going to look at the centurion. And I'm sure you probably heard this story maybe the first time in Sunday school when you was a child. I did. And what's amazing, now this centurion is not even he's not born a Jew. He's a Roman. Centurion means he had a hundred men. He was over 100 men. And but he loved God, apparently. If we took all of the accounts of the Gospels about this guy, it said, well, now he's built synagogues. He's contributed money. He's helped us, you know. So he's a friend of the Jewish people, if I could say it that way, even though he's in the Roman army, which is an occupying force. But now the reason we're starting here is because Jesus says, of all the people that he had met during his 3.5 years of ministry on planet Earth, of all the people he met, Jew and non-Jew, this man walked in the greatest faith of any of them. I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So we're going to start here because I thank God for all levels of faith, you know. Thank God. We are called to a revival, a supernatural revival, to go far enough into God that will overturn a city, if you'll allow me, and then spread like wildfire around this whole world and not be short-lived. This one, I believe, once it starts, it's going to last. It's going to harvest until Jesus comes. I believe that. I believe that, or I wouldn't be here. I believe that. So we're going to start here, so let's just read it. Matthew 8, starting in verse 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. Now, grievously tormented. This is a bad situation. Grievously tormented means this is a bad case. It's not a cold. It's not the flu. Well, I guess the flu could be. But it's something, it's palsy and it's bad. Grievously tormented. Okay? And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now let's stop for a moment. You just wouldn't believe some of the sermons I heard growing up about not being worthy. But all this man is really saying is, see, at that time, the Jews were still under the law until the time of the cross and the resurrection. Even though Jesus is preaching the principles of the kingdom of God, the law is in full force until the cross. And under the law, it's illegal for a Jew, especially a rabbi, to go underneath the roof of a Gentile. And this centurion is a Gentile. So actually, he's not saying, oh, I'm so unworthy. Forget that trash, okay? That's not what he's saying at all. He is being very courteous to Jesus. He's not wanting to get him in any trouble. And he's going, look, I'm a Gentile, and you don't need to come under my roof. That's not necessary, Jesus. Now watch this. Here we go. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man. Now we're starting to get an understanding of why he is so sure that all Jesus has to do is speak the word only, and his servant shall be healed. It doesn't get any more affirmative than shall. Not maybe so. There's a good chance. Shall be healed. Why can he say that? Why is he like that? For I am a man under authority. Now, we're going to have lots of definitions in this study. This word is going to be really important to you. So I'm going to give you the Greek word. We'll get to the definition here in a little bit. This word here is exousia, the Greek word, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. It does mean authority. It's exactly what it means. Okay, we're going to get more precise with that in a little while. But here's how he understands why Jesus can speak the word only. He says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go. And you know what happens? He goes. And to another, come. And he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he doeth it. He does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. I mean, this is almost like a rebuke. It is a rebuke. This man doesn't have a covenant with God, yet he understands God better than the people that do have a covenant. He said, of all the people I have met in Israel, I've not found one that has as much faith as this guy. And what is it that makes this guy different? He understands authority. He understands it. And most people don't. By the time this is over, we will. And we're going to have results that we have not had before. You watch and see. Because God cannot lie. Jesus says, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now he prophesies at this point, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. He's talking about Gentiles. Many shall come from the east and the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we have lessons on that passage right there. He is prophesying and teaching about the change of covenant. He's talking about it in Hebrews. It says, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Okay, now, when he gives that command to his followers right at the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, go ye unto all nations. At that point, he opens up the gospel to all the Gentiles, the east and the west and around the world. Amen? Okay? But how many of you know, much of Israel did not believe he was the Messiah? Where are they going to wind up? If they continue in that, where are they going to wind up? It isn't going to be good. Anyway, that's not tonight's lesson. I have a lesson that I taught several years ago. It's at both websites. If you could do a word search, it's called What is Outer Darkness? If you haven't ever heard it, it's a good one. And we go through every occurrence of that phrase in the New Testament. Okay, but let's get back to our thing here now. We're talking about authority and power tonight. So let me skip over the prophecy right there, verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12, yes. So let's pick it. Let me read verse 10 and connect it with verse 13, okay? When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That's the way it's going to be. They're going to be healed while we watch. Missing legs are going to grow out while the cameras are rolling. You hear me? The people marveled when they saw those things. Well, they saw those things. It happened while they were there at the meeting. Now, the centurion, Jesus is real plain about this. The centurion had great faith because he understood authority. Let me say it a little different. He understood exousia. Now, this word exousia is going to be really important in our study. Okay, Jesus uses it a lot. If you want to make some notes, Strong's number, G1849, EXOUSIA, and it means ability, privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom. In this case, it means mastery, like to master something. Magistrate, it could be used that way. It actually says here, superhuman. Strong's, I just copied it. Copy, paste. Potentate, token of control, delegated influence. Then it gives these 6 synonyms. Exousia means authority. It means jurisdiction. It means liberty. It means power. And it means right, like the right to do something. And it means strength. Did you get all that? If not, get the MP3 and get all that. But now, I'm going to say it to you a little different way. He understood, the centurion, he understood. He told how he understood it. I don't know if he was a Greek scholar or not. He may not have could have given you those definitions. But he understood this. Those that I have authority over, when I speak, they do. And he looked at Jesus and somehow he knew, you have authority over everything. And if you speak to sickness, it will go. Just like when I speak to my servants, they go. He understood the power of authority. He understood the power of exousia. Now, see if you like this one. Here is the power of exousia. You're going to have to start getting it this way. I say, and it is done. Say that with me. I say, and it is done. I say, and it is done. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I say, and it is done. See, that's exousia. That's authority. When you have that kind of authority, and you, like this guy, he says, I have authority over 100 men. And if I got soldiers, I say, and they do. He is understanding that Jesus has that same level of authority, but over sickness and disease. He doesn't even have to come into the man's house. Somehow this guy knew that Jesus had that kind of authority. Jesus, if you say, I know it is done. If you say, it is done. Now, Jesus, speaking to the 12, he gave them that verse that we just quoted. And if we're going to walk in exousia, we're going to have to come to the place where when we know that when we speak, it is done. Say it with me. I believe by faith. Because Gary's asking me to say this. Everything I say comes to pass. I'm going to quit saying foolish stuff, silly stuff, childish stuff, so that I'll have confidence that when I speak, it is done. What I say comes to pass. Okay. It's a good start, isn't it? Okay. Now, the centurions, on his level of exousia, he had that power over his men. I'm reading some of my comments here. Whatever he said, that is what happened. If he said go, they go. If he says come, they come. He understood exousia and the power of it, now get this, over all that he had been placed over. That's important. Over all that he had been placed over. The centurion understood that Jesus had exousia over everything. When Jesus spoke, it was done. He knew that Jesus had absolute exousia, authority, over everything. And when he speaks, it is done. We turn to Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, do you notice in that verse, now, who's he giving it to? Back up just in verse 17. And the 70 returned again. This is not even just the 12, the inner circle. This is 70. Type in shadow Moses, but you know, chose out 70. These are 70 guys. He says, behold, I give unto you power. Power occurs in this verse twice. And if you didn't know better, you would think it's the same Greek word both times, but it's not. The first one here is exousia. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And you know he's talking about demons, because in the subject here, they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So he's talking about serpents and scorpions here, in the, you know, representing demonic forces. And over all the power of the enemy. Now that's a different word. That word power there, if you're taking notes, is dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It is where we get our word dynamite. So the enemy does have power. See, a lot of people say, oh, he's been disarmed. He has no power. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'm sorry. The Bible says he's been defeated. He has been overcome. He has lost the power of the fear of death over you. There's so much he's lost. But to say he has no power at all is not scriptural. See, Jesus himself went about doing good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil is involved. That doesn't mean every sick person has got a demon on the inside of them. That's not what it's saying. But all sickness, all insanity, all that stuff, birth defects, everything else is from the fall. Amen? And Jesus, he cured, he cast out devils. Well, that's obvious, demonic. When it says healing all that were oppressed of the devil, that woman with the issue of blood, doesn't mean she had a devil, but she's being oppressed by the devil. You understand the difference? The woman bowed over for 18 years. You think that was God? It's because of the fall. So anyway, we'll get into more of that as we go on. We're going to look at all these cases, or many of them. What Jesus is saying here, I have given you authority over the dynamite power that the enemy has. Now, when I was studying this out, and you can do it yourself, it's very much like our daughter Erin quite a few years ago when she was a police officer. You know, at the time, she weighed about 105, 110 pounds soaking wet. Little bitty thing. Erin's 5'2". Little bitty thing. And she had that police uniform. I mean, Sue and I, you talk about learning how to pray. She didn't sit at the desk at the thing. She had her own squad car. And she's out there amongst them, you know. And that she put on that uniform. And her little, she's so little that the belt that all that cop stuff hangs on, the radio and the pistol and the baton and God, I don't know what all, whistles and everything and the flashlights, all that stuff was hanging on there. And it would just barely, all of it would fit. There was no belt left. It was because she's so little, you know. And I think about her now going up against a how many ton bus. You know, here you got a bus that weighs how many tons, all this power. When it comes to dynamite power, who has the more dynamite power? The bus or the human? The bus. Trust me, that's not a faith project you want to take on unless you're wearing a uniform or the full armor of God. But she had authority from the city of Tulsa. And that means all the power of the city of Tulsa stands behind that uniform. And here comes the bus. And her job was, was to step out, blow the whistle, hold up her hand wearing that uniform, say, stop. And even though that bus had all this power, all this dunamis, she had authority. And when she says stop, that bus better stop. Or else there's going to be consequences. Now see, many years ago when I started studying this out, I thought, well, that's really good. But Lord, it only works on law-abiding buses. What if the bus doesn't stop? See? And he says, thank God we were already at the prayer center. He says, you're forgetting Dave's teaching. You're not leaving it in context. What just happened? So let's see now. Let's back up. He says, I'm giving you this authority over the enemy's power. Let's back up. What did we just see there in verse 17? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He says, you don't understand. This authority that I'm giving you puts devils into subjection under you. And all of heaven, if you believe that, all of heaven, all of heaven's resources, including the Holy Spirit, the angels, I don't know what all God's got in his arsenal, but all the resources of heaven will back you up if you operate in this authority that I give you. You get that? He said, let me read a few things he said to me about it. Well, first off, let me give you where it says, exousia, he said, this authority makes devils subject to you. You see that word subject in verse 17? Even the devils are subject unto us. The Greek word for subject there is, it's Strong's number G5293. I'm going to spell it for you. It's a longer one. HUPOTASSO. And the way they've got it pronounced here looks like hupatasso. And it means literally to subordinate. If anyone is under subjection, it means they have to be under obedience. They have been subdued. They have been made subject to. They have been in subjection under, and they must submit themselves unto. We're learning. Say this. Jesus has given his disciples, including me, authority over all the power of the enemy. No matter how much power the enemy has, when I use the name of Jesus, those devils are subject unto me. That means sickness is subject unto me. When I speak, it is done. You getting this? Go to Matthew 28. See, when the centurion came to Jesus, he knew that Jesus had that authority. How he really knew it, I don't know, but he knew it. And he knew that Jesus, if he spoke the word, it was done. But now, look what Jesus does as he's about to ascend to his Father. These are the last words in Matthew 28. We keep going to them all the time. The last commission, the last things he said to his followers. Jesus, starting in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. You want to take a guess what word that is? It's exousia. All exousia, all authority is given unto me, now notice, in heaven and in earth. Y'all do know that that's more than Adam had. Do you ever think about that? Where does it ever say Adam had authority in heaven? Adam had authority on earth. Jesus is the second man, the last Adam. And he has all authority in heaven and earth. His name is above every name that is named. Principalities, powers, so forth. Okay. But then, now notice he's talking to his disciples now. Might as well be talking to us. Now, I got to set it up again. The centurion understood that while Jesus was on the earth, because he understood authority, and because he knew that Jesus had authority over sickness, he knew that if Jesus spoke, sickness had to go. Right? But now look what Jesus is saying. Now he's saying, all authority has been given unto me. Go you therefore. Right here is where he authorizes the church. Right here is where he authorizes believers. He said, all authority has been given unto me. See, that centurion today, he can't go to Jesus to get Jesus to speak the word. Jesus only has a mouth on planet Earth on your face. On the face of believers. That's the only lips he has on planet Earth. And Jesus is plainly saying, the authority that I have, I am sending you with that same authority. When you, say it again, when I speak, it is done. When I speak in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking with authority. What I say comes to pass. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, and that means do, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now let's look at his last statements in Mark's Gospel. Go over to Mark 16 for a minute. Mark's got a few more details that Matthew didn't include. Mark 16, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now here we go. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now notice, in my name. In my name. Why? Why in his name? Because all authority has been given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. All authority is in him. But he is giving us, he's authorizing us to go forth as his ambassadors. And when we go, we're going in his name. Where he said, Father, the same in John 17, Father, as thou hast sent me, so now I am sending them. Jesus came in the name of the Father. We are going in the name of Jesus, who glorifies the Father. Same mission. But we can't do it if we don't have authority. We can't do it if heaven doesn't back us up the same way that heaven backed him up. We've got to understand, we've got to get past our little churchy selves and understand who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. He said we're on the same mission. That sounds like go about, be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And while we're at it, preach the gospel and get a bunch of folks saved. He couldn't do that part. It was before the resurrection. But we can do that part. And that's the greater work. Okay. In my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, I'm not even going to get into snake handling and foolish things like that. I'm just sorry. Stay with the Bible, okay? Read the book of Acts. You'll see what he's talking about there. So the devil try and kill you while you're out on the mission field with a snake bite, throw it off in the fire. You have authority even over the poison. Are you understanding this? And if they try and poison you with something, it won't work on you. This is called supernatural. This is called authority in heaven and in earth. Amen. And if you're sent in the name, which we are, we have authority over that. Now here we go. Who does this? Believers. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. How many knows he's still there? But see, positionally, I know we're all here on planet Earth. But as far as God the Father is concerned, Ephesians tells you, we are seated in that same place of authority in him because we're in him. We have his name. He is seated at the right hand of power, and as far as God's concerned, so are you. Okay. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord, and I'm going to read it the way it is in the King James. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That word following is better translated accompanying. Accompanying signs. Attesting signs. But really, do you notice that the word them is in italics? I understand why they put it in there. They're trying to make it more clear, but I think in this case it doesn't. Now, it is true that the Lord's working with you, but let's read it the way that it's really in the Greek. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word. Working with, he will not confirm junk. He will not confirm a false gospel with signs accompanying. I don't care how well-meaning you are. I don't care how deceived you are. He works with the word. That's why we're so strong here about doctrine. Paul was too. If we had time, we'd teach about how when he left Timothy there, he said that one of the primary reasons I left you there, Timothy. Don't allow anybody to preach any other doctrine than that which I taught. That's strong, isn't it? Okay. But now, what does the Lord work with? Yeah, he works with you. as you preach the word. Let's read it one more time. I like this. They went forth and preached. You can see, you could, that tells you, you could insert right there. They went forth and preached the word everywhere. We know what they were preaching. And if they're not preaching the word, he isn't confirming. Now, this is a little different than the gifts. Gifts are a little different. Okay? We'll teach on gifts another time. What we're talking about right now is like when Paul was preaching in Lystra, and there was that man that was born lame from his mother's womb. Now, this guy has no picture on the inside of walking. You know, when you've lived your whole life and you've never walked, that's a pretty hopeless situation. You don't have a whole lot of hope in you that you're ever going to walk. He's a full-grown man, lame from his mother's womb. Yet Paul comes and preaches the gospel, which means he's preaching the word. And here's this guy. Boy, I wish there was an MP3 of that message. I wish there was. What? The word that Paul preached was so strong that it penetrated this guy, born lame from his mother's womb, a grown man, put hope on the inside of him, a vision, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, to the point the Holy Ghost revealed to Paul, this man has faith to be healed. And right in front of everybody, the guy leaps and jumps and he's walking and everything. You talk about the Holy Ghost confirming the word with signs accompanying. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? We're going to have those same. That's going to happen all the time. All the time. Say it with me. When I speak, it is done. Everything I say comes to pass. I go forth in His name. And I preach the word. And He works with and confirms that word with signs and wonders all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, now go to John 14. There are Sunday's message, I think the title we put on it was One Word from God. One word from God will change your life. But that word has to be more than intellectual knowledge. It has to become bone of your bone. It has to become you. Here's two verses that if you're going to really, if you talk about a word that will change you, this has got to become bone of our bone right here. John 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatsoever you shall ask, now again, notice, in my name. As his ambassador. That means seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He is not helping you build your kingdom. There's a big difference. This is for submitted people, yielded people, people like you who's wanting more of God, wanting to see His kingdom established on earth just like it's already established in heaven. He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, on my assignment, on the same mission that I was on, now I've sent you on, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Plain English, I'll do it. Who does it? You do it? Who does it? He does it. That will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And just in case we didn't get it, Jesus hardly ever repeats himself in two consecutive verses. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Sunday's message, I gave you references to a God who cannot lie. And the other verse in Hebrews, where it is impossible for God to lie. This is truth. These words are spirit. They are truth. Heaven and earth will pass away. These words will never pass away. Jesus is not lying. The problem is not on his part. The problem is on our part believing what he said. Say it with me. If I ask anything in his name, he will do it. If I ask anything in his name, he will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If I ask anything in his name, he will do it. Now see, we could all quote that verse before you came to this service tonight. But it's not bone of our bone. It's not flesh of our flesh. This is not the living word in us. And how I know that, others I have prayed, I thank God for every miracle any of us have ever seen. I thank God for everything that's ever happened. I thank God for the, I've seen a lot of miracles right here in this church. I thank God for the ministry of Pastor Dave. And I've seen, you have me like seeing those arms grow out and all those things, you know, hallelujah. But I'm also trying to be honest, I have prayed for a lot of them that died. Does that change John 14, verses 13 and 14? Say, is the problem with what he said? Is he holding out on us? Where's the problem? That's good news. See, us is correct. That's good news. Because God is not going to change, his word is not going to change, and the devil's not going to change. But guess who can change? That's us. You're at the right church. Thank God for the ministry of Pastor Dave, who's taught us how to turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. All of the principles, including fasting and mortification of the flesh and all of the things, whatever it is about us that does not believe this, thank God we have a path of transformation that is just as sure as the cross itself. Talk about accountable. You're close. Go to John 15. Look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What's those next three words? And ordained you. Ordained to do what? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now here we go again. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, here it is again, in my name, he may give it to you. What a promise. Remember the lesson we did on Luke 11? About the Lord teach us to pray. They'd watch him go off and pray, maybe spend all night in prayer. And then they'd watch him deliver the bread. He'd come and minister to the people. The blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear. Maimed were made whole. I mean, when you're at the service and you watch a leg grow out, or you watch an eyeball form where there was no eyeball, he's delivering the bread, and they're going, would you teach us to pray? We notice when you go pray, when you come, then you deliver the bread, if you'll allow me. You deliver the goods. Teach us to pray. And you remember what he taught them? He gave them the Lord's Prayer, but after that he says, are you thinking that your Father is withholding? No, your attitude has to change. Listen, the door is open. If you knock, you get to come in. If you want to seek him, you'll find him. Ask, and he'll give. I've been wanting to hear lately in my private worship time, I'm using Luke 11. Now again, I can't sing worth a hoot. Y'all found that out Sunday. But I'm going to Luke 11. I'm saying, Lord, I don't care what it looks like. This is how you are. You are my Father. You love to give the bread. You love. You'll give me the Holy Spirit every day. You know, we go to Mark 11:23, and it says, when you pray, believe you receive. So you don't ask again if you believed you received, right? But then the Greek over there where it says ask and you shall receive, in the Greek it says ask and keep on asking. I had a hard time reconciling those. I didn't know what to do with that. And finally, the Holy Ghost, it's always so simple. He wants you, when it says ask and keep on asking, he's not saying keep asking for the same thing you asked for before. He's saying come often. Deliver the bread every day, and if you want, you can deliver it multiple times a day. Come get the bread. Ask and keep on asking. That's good, isn't it? Makes sense. Worship you. I worship you, Father. I thank you. You are the God who delivers the bread. You love to give me the bread. Lord, I thank you that when I come and spend time with you and I'm in your presence, Lord, you load me down with the bread of heaven. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that when I go out to minister to the lost or to the sick or to the blind, Lord, I'm not going by myself. I'm not coming with my own strength. Father, you have loaded me down with the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus, I delivered the bread. That's who you are, Father. That is who you are. I don't care what religion said, they lied. Jesus told me who you are, and that's who you are. You love to load me down with the bread of heaven to deliver to the people. We're changing, church. We're changing. Doesn't matter if 1,000 has fallen at one side and 10,000 at your right hand. We are going to go on with Jesus. We're going to believe what he said, no matter what the world says. We're going to, no matter what religion says, no matter what your mom and dad said, they meant well, but we're going to go with Jesus. And God is like he says. Our Father is like he says. Go to John 16. Where is it? You're close. So he just got through saying, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. He elaborates a little. John 16, starting in verse 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Man, that is strong. That is strong. Say it with me. According to Jesus, who cannot lie, whatever I ask the Father in his name, the Father gives it to me. Hallelujah. That has to become bone of our bone. That has to become our reality. He says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time comes when I speak no more unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day, now, at that day, when he's in that day and at that day, he's talking about this day. He's talking about the new birth. None of these guys were born again when he's teaching this. But he's saying, you're going to have a new spirit on the inside of you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul plainly told us, once you have a spirit which is of God, now you can know the things freely given to you of God. That is your inheritance. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus says. And the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you. Why? Because you have been made a joint heir with him. How can he send us on the same mission if we don't have the same authority? If we can't stand out in front of the bus and tell it to stop, and it stops, if we can't do that, we have no place in ministry. But he's saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And what you say, when you speak, if you're going to function like I functioned, when you speak, it is done. And all of heaven will back up your words. Verse 26, John 16:26 says, at that day you shall ask, here we go again now, in my name. None of this works for you to build your kingdom. This works to build his kingdom. This works in his name. As we're on his assignment, I'll just be honest with you. This wouldn't work so well for Gary if Gary decided to go start his own church somewhere and be the pastor of that church. Why? It's not God's plan for Gary. He told me plainly, I'm not a pastor. Some of you found that out. I'm not. I don't have the temperament or the gifting of a pastor. When I do try and pastor, people get hurt. So I don't pastor. You know, you can call me Pastor Gary. I don't, you know, it's okay. I'd have to correct people 100 times a day almost, you know. I don't care. You can call me a shivy. Don't make me one. You know. You can call me a pastor all day. I'm not a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'll wrap your knuckles. You fall asleep in my class. Wake up. You know. Didn't the word say this? What are you doing something different? Weren't you in that class? Okay, that's enough of that. At that day, verse 26, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You can go get the bread yourself. He doesn't have to go get it for you. You can go and read Luke 11 again. Read that all again. If you ask, he will give. If you knock, the door will be open. If you seek him, you will find him. And Jesus didn't make any exceptions. And he won't give you something strange. He says, my Father will give you the Holy Spirit, which means that is the bread deliverer. He's the molecule changer. You and the Holy Ghost are going to co-labor together. We're not going to get to it tonight. We're going to come to the place where you'll see this. Jesus, what did he say? He did not say all dunamis has been given unto me. He said all exousia, all authority. Jesus is the agent of authority. I'm telling you right now, previews, the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. The Holy Spirit works with words. A little more precisely, the Holy Spirit works with the Word. When your words become the Word, he co-labors with you. And dunamis has arrived. That bus will stop, and it'll stop every time. And no demon willing to go up against God the Holy Ghost. I tell you right now, I don't think any demon is wanting to go up against an angel. Not even one. They are angels, but they've been stripped of their power. Our angels have not. Well, stripped of their power. I shouldn't say it that way. They are way weakened down from where they were. One of God's angels, just one angel in the Old Testament. It was 180 some odd thousand was slain in a single night. One angel. Dear Lord God, that bus is going to stop. Okay, we're just going to do one tonight. We're on page 2 of 6, and I've just got started. Go to Matthew 9. I'm not going to hold you real late tonight. Now, what I'm going to do here, and we're going to do it even more in the weeks to come, this section is called Examples of the Use of Exousia in Scripture. If he expects us to go on the same mission that he was on and to have the same results that he had, then we need to understand the authority, the exousia, that he has given us. And we can do that by watching how he used it. And then we go forth and we use it the same way. And the Holy Spirit that manifested his words, can I say it that way? The Holy Spirit, in other words, when he would speak and it was done, that's the Holy Spirit. You can take that all the way back to Genesis 1. Light be, and light was. Well, who was there to manifest the light? The Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep, remember? He works with the Word, the spoken Word. Okay, Matthew 9, starting in verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know, and notice how he words this, that the Son of Man, notice he particularly does not say the Son of God. See, he is operating here as the last Adam. You got that? Restored dominion of the last Adam. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power. Now, you might as well get in the habit here of marking in close to that a big E. Instead of, you don't have to write it all out, but you know, if you wonder if is it exousia or is it dunamis, this is exousia. This is the kind of authority he has delegated to us. All exousia has been given unto me, therefore you go. Okay? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, hath authority, hath exousia on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Jesus spoke and it was done. You see this? But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power. That's a big E. Again, that is exousia, not dunamis. That had given such exousia unto who? Unto men. Jesus did this as the last Adam, not as divinity or deity at all. He is functioning as the last Adam with the Holy Spirit that came on him the day he was baptized. We've taught that so many times. The day he was baptized, as far as God's concerned, all of Adam died in him. The first Adam is dead. Now he's free to assign a new Adam. Who would that be? Who would be a good candidate? How about my son? This day thou art my son. He might as well have said, this day thou art the last Adam. And the Holy Spirit came with those words, restoring the dominion that had been lost when the first Adam sinned. I said that pretty quick, didn't I? That's pretty good. You say, well, Gary, that is good. Boy, I'm sure glad that Jesus has the power to forgive sins, but come on now. He never gave us that kind of power. Go to John 20. Go to John 20. Look at verses 21 and 23. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As, here it is again, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now notice, whosoever sins you remit. Remit means forgive. They are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And you can study that out in Matthew 18, where he talked about those two servants, and the brother had sinned against one, and you go to him and try and restore your brother, and if that doesn't work, you take two witnesses, and you go and you try and restore your brother, and if that doesn't work, you take it before the church, and if that doesn't, you try and restore your brother, and if that doesn't work, then he becomes like a heathen and a publican. That doesn't mean you sue his britches off. It means you pray for him, have mercy on him. You do Luke 6, 27, 28. Pray for those that despitefully use you, love your enemies, and all of that. And he says, then he gives the parable about loosing him and letting him go. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you forgive the sin on earth, God the Father forgives it in heaven. What he said. And Jesus equated that with healing. Which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee? Now, how would we do that? Did you forget the part about in his name? In his name. You explain the gospel to them. You preach it to them. You preach the word. He died for your sins. Your sins can be forgiven. Anyway, You preach the word to him. And if they believe it, their sins will be all remitted because Jesus already paid the price. It's not talking about a confessional. Sorry, we'll talk about that more another time. Although it's good to get people to confess their sins. Now he's talking about you preach the gospel. Remember, he works with and confirms the word. You preach the word to them. You preach the cross to them. And if they'll believe it, their sins will be forgiven. If not, they're going to be retained. They'll face judgment one day for it. Say it with me. This is a very unchurchy. Jesus says, whosoever sins I remit, they are remitted. Whoever sins I retain, they are retained. That's one of the reasons why I am very quick to forgive every person their trespasses against me. As I do that, no matter what they did to me, I loose them and I let them go. And that looses heaven to go after them. In the name of Jesus. We have that authority. We have that authority. And at the same time, you can get them healed. Because he said, which is easier to say? Your sins be forgiven you? Or take up thy bed and walk? Y'all getting anything out of this? Now, you have authority on earth to forgive sins. And if you forgive, the authority of Jesus, he said, is in heaven and in earth. And if you forgive it on earth, God forgives it in heaven. Amen? Amen. All right. You want another one, or is that enough for tonight? Okay, one more. Go to Matthew 10. I promise this is the last one. The reason for that, I don't want you not to get it. They marveled. They thought he was blaspheming when Jesus said, I have the power to forgive sins. And I have the power to heal. They thought he was blaspheming. But Jesus said, the same authority I'm walking in, I'm giving it to you. So later on he says, look, whose sins you remit, they're remitted. Isn't that exactly what he said? Whose sins you remit, they're remitted. If you forgive, they're forgiven. But if you don't forgive, they're not. We have that authority. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew 10, look at verse 1. When he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power, that's the big E, exousia, against, now this time it's unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal a few kinds of disease. Is that what it says? And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Well, that's just for the 12, though. That's just for the 12. Now go back to Mark 16. We're going to look at it again. Mark 16. Here they have authority from him to cast out these unclean spirits. That's devils, right? Cast out devils and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's pretty inclusive. Say it with me. All manner of sickness. Including Zika. And anything else that comes on the horizon. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. I've been given authority to heal them and to cast out devils. Well, that's only for the 12, Gary. Well, wait a minute. Here we go again. Now, Mark 16, starting in verse 17 this time. These signs shall follow them that, what? Believe. Them that believe. In my name. Now, again, it's all based on the name of Jesus. We're going to get to exactly why. I mean, you know why, but we're going to nail it down for you. We have chapter and verse for it. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's never going to change. We have been authorized to do that very thing, but it's got to be beyond intellectual knowledge. I'm going to recommend this. I'm just in the early stages of it. Worship Him for these verses. Worship Him for the truth. Lord, I worship You. I thank You. I glorify You. You have authorized me to go forth in the name of Jesus, and I have authority from heaven. I have authority from heaven to cast out devils. I have authority from heaven to cast out unclean spirits. I have authority from Jesus, the head of the church, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, first time, every time, no exceptions. That's who we are. That's the gospel. That is the real gospel. That's the words. Again, I just keep seeing this image. Jesus, from the realm where He lives, where truth is, where the realm of the Spirit, if He walks through the wall and comes to us on this side and says, I come to tell you truth. Don't judge by anything you see. Don't judge by anything you feel. Only believe this. And it's only those that do that somehow faith enables this word to come to pass. Everybody's got the same word, but it's those that believe. Well, I'm working on my believer. I'm working on my believer. This word is not going to change. Bless God, I am going to change. Anything in me that doesn't believe is going the way of death, getting out of me. Be on that same mission. I've been authorized by the Lamb, authorized by the head of the church. Bless God, we're going to do what He said. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything? That's a good start, isn't it? Yes. More to come. More to come. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. It's His word. This authority is something else now. Say it with me one more time. The authority I have makes devils subject to me. They are subjugated under me. In His name. Because He gave me the authority. But when I speak, it is done. Hallelujah.